Bring you Christian greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you. We've been looking forward to this for some time as a family. And the Lord has blessed this day, and we're happy to be here and share with you. Trust the Lord will give us a blessing. His Spirit will be present as we move through the different sessions of today. I appreciated the devotional meditation our brother shared with us. The subject of today, or the theme of today, was already stated, and that is living faith. So we could ask the question, what is a dead faith? There's a living faith, is there also a dead faith? Well, there is a dead faith, and James tells us what that is. And it says, he says in James, that faith without works is dead. So we're here as a group of believers, understanding that there is a living faith that is not just faith alone, but there are works that follow as a result of the living faith. And the resurrection of Jesus, oh, that's so, the work of Jesus. You know, this morning, do you believe? Do you believe? Or are you a Thomas that does not believe in Jesus and the work of Jesus? This childlike faith we'll get into in just a moment, but some thoughts that were just coming to me as our brother was speaking. I think one of the things today in our world and culture which we live, one of the things that is, oh, what's the term I should use? Bearing down upon the church or society in general, that is the increase of humanistic thinking or knowledge. People driving after that to learn more and become smarter and more intelligent, and in that search, they begin to form a process that unless I can think it out or reason it, like our brother was saying, through science or whatever, it's not true. We can see that happening today. It's people run after knowledge of humanistic thinking. Childlike faith is the subject this morning. Childlike faith. I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 13 to 16. And then we'll look at Matthew 18 verses 1 to 5. I contemplated briefly. Maybe we should just bring all the children up here from the youngest infant that's here to maybe 5 years old. Just bring them up here in the corner and have you all see them and say, look, you see the little children here. That's what God says that you're going to need to be like to be part of the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 18. I trust you can get the picture in your mind of what is taking place in this scene. Matthew chapter 18 and verses 1 to 5. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." Picture our Lord. I don't know what this scene was. Grassy hillside, I'm not sure. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there he is. And the disciples, in their mind here in this chapter, the disciples are saying, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You can just see that search for honor and glory and, Lord, who's it going to be? And then Jesus pulls a little child to himself and he set him in the midst of them. These grown men, he brings this little child in and he says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, that person is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Childlike faith. Jesus was teaching a lesson to his disciples about faith and humility. What is faith? What is faith? We'll look in just a moment about children and how we are to be just simple, have simple faith like children. But what is faith? You know, I believe faith is simply this: taking God at his word. Taking God at his word. Believing in what we cannot see, and we know that there is faith that we have today in our natural realm of life. We exercise faith in the natural things. It's so necessary. Just as that is necessary to have faith in the natural things, it is necessary to have Christian faith. That is essential to Christian life, to being alive and living in Jesus. Faith is different than knowledge, in that faith believes, even though it has not seen through actual experience. But it believes. It's different than knowledge, in that knowledge is understanding gained by actual experience. We have a child that touches a stove and they get burned, a little burn on their finger, and they learn, they gain knowledge, and they know that if they touch the stove, they're going to get burned, and they do not want to touch a stove again. If I was to travel to New York City this morning by bus, I would need to exercise faith in the driver of the bus that he knows the way and he will get me there. Now, I never drove a bus to New York City, and I do not have knowledge of the route, but I need to have faith in the driver of the bus that I'm riding in, that he does have knowledge of the route. And I sit there and I can look outside and see the windows because I trust him. I have faith in him that he's going to get me there. He's going to take me where I want to go. It is essential that we have faith this morning in the work of Jesus. We have overwhelming witness to the truth of the gospel and the word of God. Overwhelming witness of its validity, of its power. I am colorblind, to tell you that. There's some colors that I cannot see. They look different to me. Browns and greens. And if I do a color blind test on the computer or so, you know, they have these big circles and you need to look at them and see what's in the circle. Well, to me, I will bring up one of those and look at it, and it's just a circle of dots. But someone else will walk up beside me and say, I'll just use a number for an example. They'll say, 21. There's 21 in there. There's number 21. And to me, you got to be kidding. There's nothing in there. Well, another person might walk up, oh yeah, 21. Well, soon there's overwhelming witness there that yes, there's a number 21 in there. And I can choose not to believe them. But does it change the fact that there's a 21 in there? No, it doesn't. Because I trust and I know, I trust them that they're telling me what is true because I know them, I know the people, I know their heart, I know who they are. This morning, we can have faith and trust in what God says because of the overwhelming witness of the validity of His truth. The resurrection, the grave, the tomb being empty, is witness of the power of God. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. There's so much we could say about faith, and I trust that this will stir your thinking and you can have discussions among yourselves about faith and what it really is and encouraging each other on today. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 6. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First of all, believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This morning, do you believe that God is? Do you believe he is? And do you believe, secondly, that he is a rewarder of those that seek him? Very quickly, in a few moments, we're going to move into childlike faith more deeply. But this morning, we flounder around in discouragement and depression and whatever you might want to call it. I'm not saying that if you have those struggles that it's automatically because you do not have faith in God. That's not what I'm trying to imply, but I'm trying to say that faith in God is a tremendous resolution or answer. True faith in God. I stand here with one who does not have all the answers to this. I too become anxious. I too fret and worry about the future. Become sullen at times and downcast. I need this for myself as much as anyone. I want to just encourage you today that if you are struggling with discouragement, you are struggling with a feeling of giving up, I want to encourage you to truly look at your life and to call out to God to strengthen, Lord, increase my faith. Help my unbelief that I can trust you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The kind of faith that is spoken of in this verse is a living faith. It is a faith that is a believing faith. It is a faith that is a confident faith. And it is a faith that is a trusting faith. Now, let's move on. Well, I could say yet in Romans 10:17, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Let's move on now and look at some expressions of childlike faith. I said before, it is not enough just to just believe. But what are some expressions of childlike faith? Now, some of what I have to say here are examples of people who are not necessarily children, but I'm using the example to draw from their experience, and we can see also how children respond to life. Childlike faith, number one. Number one, childlike faith is simply a believing faith. There are many stories that we could share about children who simply believe in their father, even amidst a fearful circumstance, something scary, but they believe in their father. Picture is still vivid in my mind of one of our children who I was walking around the back of the house and little child walking beside me, and it was dark. And the front of the house, I think the porch light was on, there was light. But as we came around the side of the house and started heading into the darkness, I felt a little hand up in mine. Just a little hand. Childlike faith. And you know what? The rest of the walk was fine. Why? Because the child had daddy's hand. Well, what's about that? Well, because daddy's hand is strong. It's stronger than the fear of the darkness behind the house. Simple believing faith. Now, when we talk about childlike faith or believing faith, I have three points under this one. Three sub-points we could look at. The children believe in Father's ability. The children believe in Father's authority. And the children believe in Father's answer. Now, we say that's ideal, okay? Dad gives an answer, matter settled. We know that in child training, it's not that easy. But that's our goal. That's our goal. But as Christians, having a childlike faith, it is a challenge for us, I think, to believe these three points. To believe in Father's ability, God's ability. To believe and trust in God's authority. And then finally, to believe in God's answer. To believe in God's answer. Children also believe, I didn't have this one written down, but they also believe in the Father's ability to provide. But turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Now, this is not necessarily, the Bible calls them the three Hebrew children, or we talked about them. If you can turn with me, care to Daniel chapter 3. I'd like to read just a few verses here. Let's read verse 16, just a few verses here. Now, I do not believe these men are young children, but I'm using this as a type or as a spiritual lesson for us, believing in Father's ability, God's ability. And as you can think about it in your own experience, as you think about the things that you are facing today that are huge in your experience. Daniel chapter 3, we have three young men here. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was angry and furious. They believed God, and they said that God will deliver us out of your hand, We do not know if he's going to deliver us out from the burning fiery furnace, but he will deliver us out of your hand. Believing faith. In Father's authority, we could turn to Luke chapter 7. I'm not going to do that, but this is another, when I talk about believing in Father's authority, God's authority. This is Luke 7 is the story of the centurion. Now, he's not a child, no. But he believed in the authority of God, of Jesus. He says, to my own words, he's telling Jesus, he said, look, he said, I'm a man under authority too. I have soldiers under me, but I'm also under authority. I tell the soldier to go where he goes, and he goes, and he does it. But he says, I'm under authority as well. And I believe, if I'm not reading too much into it, he is saying that, Jesus, I know that you have all authority. And what you say, Jesus, will happen. I believe it. I believe you. Our children believe in Father's authority. And it should grip our hearts as fathers when we sense the magnitude of being a father and what it means. It should grip our hearts that we would never leave our children down in this awesome responsibility as they're forming their view of God. Childlike faith. You see, it's believing in Father's authority that keeps a child where the Father leaves it as he goes to do something for a little bit. You stand here, and the child stands there. We say, that's ideal. That's what God expects of us. In Father's answer, this one, I like to use the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Now, Isaac is not just a little lad anymore, but the Bible calls him a lad, I believe. But he's old enough to give Abraham a hard time. But remember the story. Abraham and Isaac are walking up to the mountain, and there's going to be a sacrifice. They have the fire, they have the wood, but they do not have a lamb. And Isaac says to his dad, he says, Dad, in my own words, he says, where's the lamb? And Abraham simply says, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. And we do not hear anything else about that. We do not hear Isaac saying, well, Dad, I mean, really, I mean, we're in the mountain. I mean, how's this going to happen? There was an answer, and there was quietness. Childlike faith. How many times have you heard a child say this? Well, my teacher said so. Or my dad said so. I mean, that's the way it is. It's done. Do you believe in God's answer in your life? You know, sometimes God's answer is simply no. I was wrestling with that question one day as I was thinking about this thing of, if you pray in faith believing, if you have enough of faith, it appears if you just take some scriptures without comparing them with others, it would appear like if you have enough of faith, you can get done whatever you want to have happen. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that cannot be true, really. And then it came to me, you know, there was a time when Jesus was in the garden, and he was wrestling in the garden, and he said to his Father, Father, if it be possible, can you remove this cup from me? But Jesus took the Father's answer. Jesus took the Father's answer, and he died. You see, it's not about us moving mountains into the midst of the sea, but it's about us having faith in the one who has the power to do it. That's what it's about. Number two, childlike faith is a confident faith. It is a confident faith. It takes God at his word, and I just spoke about that a little bit. Would you mind turning with me, if you can, to 2 Kings chapter 5? We have the story here of the little maid. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I am blessed with this little maid. I want to read verses 1 to 4. Now Naaman, captive of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. I see this little maid being a confident little maid. A confident little maid. What was the situation of the little maid? The little maid is a captive little maid. She is looking beyond her circumstance to others. The little maid is a serving little maid. She's serving Naaman's wife. I see that as being humble. And you could see that in little children. Their humility. Humble. The little maid is a faithful little maid. Her faith in her heart regarding God was strong. And she was willing to offer a solution to the very hand that was keeping her captive. She was confident in the power of God. This was Naaman, a high-ranking official in the Syrian army. But she said, if he went to the prophet in Samaria, the problem would be solved. Confident. And children are confident. They are confident, sometimes overly confident in their own ability. But they're confident. Oh, how many of you heard this phrase? I can. Confident. The task is huge, but I can. We also hear the other side too. I can't. We're not addressing that today. Childlike faith, number three. Childlike faith is an humble faith. I talked about that briefly here already. Do not want to spend a lot of time on this point, but it's an humble faith. Children readily accept others. It takes humility to accept others. Children readily accept others. And if there's an argument or a little fight or a little struggle, it's soon taken care of and it's forgotten. And the play goes on. Humble. But you know, as time goes on and as a child gets older, it appears like something happens. Something happens. Changes begin to take place. But the Bible says, except we become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith humility, humble. You know, small children at least, they do not really care how dirty things are. They don't really care. Yeah, they're just accepting the way life is. They could be poor. They don't really know they're poor until someone tells them they're poor. They're accepting. They're humble. Their focus is on helping, offering a helping hand. Today, are you humble? Am I humble? Really? Am I really humble? Am I able to take people at their word? To trust others? To look past my own set of filtering that I have? Is willing to accept and humbly relate to my peers. It takes humility to allow someone to speak into your life and to grow by the challenge. It takes humility. Pride wants to stand up and say, oh no. Are you humble? Number four. Childlike faith is a serving faith. A serving faith. I could tie right in with this one also, and that is, it is also a faith that has learned to hearken to the voice of the Father. Has learned to listen to the voice of the Father. And I take these two from the life of Samuel. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel. We might be in 2 Kings yet. I'd like to look at the story of Samuel just and draw a few lessons for us from little Samuel. Little Samuel was ready to serve, but he had also learned to hearken. 1 Samuel 3 and verses 4 to 9. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down again, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And it goes on to say what the Lord told him. Samuel got up the next morning and he was unsure about telling Eli what the message was. But the point I want to draw out from this is that four times the Lord called Samuel, and four times Samuel answered. Okay, the first three, Samuel answered the authority that was in his life at the moment. But that authority said, Samuel, I perceive that God is calling you. And the fourth time when the Lord called again, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Childlike faith learns to hearken, has learned to hearken to the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we fear to perform the task at hand and what God has called us to do. And we fear, but just as faith is essential in living the normal, natural life, it is essential in living the Christian life as well and traveling on with God. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Samuel was ready to serve. He was ready to get out of bed and go to see Eli. What is it, Eli, that you want? Have I learned to hearken to the voice of God, that still small voice? And today, one of the challenges in our generation is the distractions that we have that draw us away from time with God and hearing the voice of God, hearing his call to service, his call of challenge. The tasks that the Lord gives are not always easy. And we'll notice that as we go through today, perhaps the afternoon session. But children that have learned to hearken, they hear the voice of their father and their mother. We say it's ideal. We hear, they come. But children that grow up, that have learned to hearken, have a great foundation laid to hearken to the voice of God, to follow him. How do I grow in childlike faith quickly? We talked about these before. Believing that God is. I have a friend who told me last week, I was talking with him, he told me, I asked him how he's doing. I knew he was struggling deeply in his spiritual life. No one from our churches or... I knew he was struggling deeply, and he looked at me and he said, I lost hope in God. And those words dropped in my ears like a stone in water or something. I lost hope in God. My friend has a dream that God is answering no. Believing that God rewards those who seek him. Exercising the measure of faith already given to me. I grow in childlike faith by exercising the measure of faith that God has given me. I am probably safe in assuming that there are some young men here who are doing push-ups at night. Or maybe they're lifting some weights. When they started doing push-ups, they probably didn't do 100 the first time. But through use and through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're getting stronger and stronger. You want to grow in childlike faith, exercise the faith that you already have. Take God at his word and act upon it. God does not reveal the big picture all at one time, all the time. But take God at his word and act upon it, following advice of other people as well. You'd close church brothers, but act upon it. And number 5, by surrendering my will to the will of the Father. It is not the quantity of faith one has that makes the difference, but the quality of it. It's not the quantity, but the quality of it. You see, the Bible talks about little faith. The Bible talks about weak faith. The Bible talks about strong faith. The Bible talks about faith as a grain of mustard seed that is real little and small. But a faith that is rooted and grounded in the power of Jesus Christ is a living, powerful faith. I'd like to close with a little story. There was a pastor who was on a flight. I do not know which country he was flying from or where he was flying to. That's not the point. But he was on this flight, and as they were flying along, you know how airplanes are, sometimes there's turbulence. And the pilot came on. Well, first of all, the seatbelt, fasten the seatbelt light came on. And a little bit later, the pilot came on and said, "I'm sorry, but we're expecting some turbulence. We're unable to serve the snack at this time. Stay in your seats." They kept flying. The pilot came on again. He said, I'm sorry, but he said, "The turbulence are still ahead. Please stay in your seats and please keep your seatbelts fastened." And then the turbulence hit. The plane was rocking. The lightning was flashing. They were caught in a storm, and it was very rough. People were beginning to pray, and some were in distress, and the pastor noticed that he was fearful as well, anxious. But he noticed in the one seat off to the side, a little girl sitting on her legs. Her legs were folded, calm and composed. He watched her a little bit. She would straighten out her legs. I think she was looking at a book, maybe. Calm. The plane landed without incident. The plane landed, and as the pastor was getting off the plane, he noticed this little girl. And he asked her, he said, "When we were up there and it was really rough, I noticed you and you looked so calm. You weren't excited or fearful at all. What is your answer?" The little girl looked at him with a smile and she said, "My dad is the pilot and he's taking me home." You know, I want to read yet for you. I say that so easily. It's so much different to practice that in real life, isn't it? I want to read to you, those of you who were baptized, what you have said you believe. Okay? "My dad is the pilot and he's taking me home." This is what you said, or some version of it. "Do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?" And you answered, "I do." "Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that he is the only Savior of mankind, and that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?" And you answered, "I do." "Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceedeth from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?" And you answered, "I do." That is what you believe. And then, no doubt, something like this was said: "Upon the confession of your faith, which you have made before God and these witnesses, you are baptized with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Brethren and sisters, this morning, loved ones, when we are rooted and grounded in the Father of heaven, it's a living faith. Let us pray.